Okay. All right. We were on a boat. We can do the best we can. I just put all these slides together this morning from the trip. And I was on a boat with, shall we say, several Hispanic brethren. And they were trash-talking and making jokes about each other's country. So, you know, so these are people from Mexico and Peru and Panama and other countries from South America and Inter-America. So in the spirit of it, our Filipino guide, he jumped in with a Filipino joke. And he said, did you hear about the Filipino who was an inmate in a prison? And he finally got converted to Jesus, and he went to Catholic confession and went into the little box. And he said to the priest, he said, I'm sorry, I've killed 1,000 Filipinos. And he said, why did you kill 1,000 Filipinos? Well, because they believed in God. A long pause. And then the inmate said, Father, do you believe in God? And the Catholic priest said, no, it's just rumors. It's just rumors. Did not want to have to have his religion cost anything. And that's where most of us have had a time in our life when we have had a period where you don't want to have to give up your life for religion. And if you're honest, most of us have had a time where religion mostly meant God taking stuff away. We sat there two Sabbaths ago baptizing all these women in a prison. And while we're sitting in front and they're singing, one of the deaconesses was going up and down the rows of these women and taking their jewelry away. And I noticed, look what they're doing. Taking rings and jewelry. Taking stuff away. On the back of the baptismal certificate for 100 years, it said, if you get baptized, you have to agree. No more movies, no more dancing, no more card playing, no more gambling, no more pepper, no more, no more, no more, no more. Church standards, take it away. And in my own mind, when I was 18 years old and I knelt down in the bunk bed in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and gave my life to Christ, somehow even the holiness of that was all in the context of giving up and letting things go. And I said to God, I was in a small school. I was one of the better athletes. If you want to take that away, okay. Why did I think that God would want to do that? I don't know where I got that from. And in a small school, I was in a group that was always fighting for A's in the class. And I said, God, if you want to take that away, okay, take that away. And I had a pretty blonde girlfriend. And somehow I said, God, if you want me to put that out, okay, okay. If you want me to marry someone terrible and ugly just to keep me humble, okay, that's fine. Where do we get this picture of God that in order to come to God, you now have to give things up? That is primarily the definition of giving things up. And the verse for today says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. All these things. What about that? All these things will be added unto you. The old joke, boy, I've heard this for 40 years. There's good news and bad news. The good news is there will be golf in heaven. The bad news is you're playing next Sunday. See? Take away. But Jesus says, I will give you all these things will be added unto you. Where is the all these things part? We're driving back from the airport yesterday. We're behind a Tesla. Why doesn't God say that? All these things will be added unto you. The Tesla. We're standing in front of a Dunkin' Donuts, Monday night, Tuesday night. Here's all these donuts. Why doesn't someone say there? All these things will be added unto you. while I was walking through first class to get to my seat, why didn't someone say, all these things will be added unto you? Where is the all these things will be added unto you? Most of us have a bucket list. I don't know. You can't get to my pictures at all? Just the Tesla again. What's after the Tesla? Can you do the next picture? What's the next one? Boy, something is way off. Okay, you're just going to have to bear with my. What's on your bucket list? My bucket list. I want to see Machu Picchu. I would like to go rafting down the Colorado River before it's too late. And I want to play golf on St. Andrews and at Pebble Beach. And I want to see the Great Wall of China. And I want to see lions. I've been to safaris, but I've never seen lions yet. And I hope someday to go skiing with my grandchildren. Someday, if grandchildren should come. We have a bucket list. But if you're anywhere near my world of life, you begin to look at the trajectory of life, and you can see at the rate at which you are going the bucket list, there may be a point where there will be a vanishing point, and you will not have finished all the bucket list yet. And we have to wrestle with this. But the verse says, I will add all these things unto you. All what things? My whole bucket list is my bucket list and all these things. We have some people that are retired just a few years ahead of us. And they said, we decided before we retired that we're going to focus on experiences rather than accumulating more things. Okay, it's good. Experiences. And that's, I guess, what I want to say today. As I've started a series on all or nothing, all the all verses in the Bible, there are many, many verses about all. I will do all. I will pay for all your sins. I will save all. I will all. And this first one, Matthew 6:33, they sang it in the praise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I'm going to suggest that that is mostly experiences. Some of you have heard me talk about this because it happened just before we went overseas. They asked us to contribute $40,000 to the crusade over there. They did $40,000, we would do $40,000. It's a huge amount of money that I had no idea where it would all come. But one donor from way up north sent us $25,000. Quiet Hour gave us $5,000. Everybody that goes on a trip puts in $300,000. And we were at 36, 37,000. I came back from Vietnam. Pastor Ed said, we will have a fundraiser on Saturday night. Needed 3,500, whatever it was. I hadn't seen my sons. Hilda was on the East Coast. They said, Dad, we'll go out to eat. I said, okay, I'll meet you there. But I hadn't seen anybody for several weeks, so I was shaking hands. I went to the Filipino to shake hands. I got to the restaurant an hour later. My sons had been sitting in their car in the parking lot for an hour. It's important. And I walked in the door of Sioux Plantation, and that moment there was a Filipino lady that I know in line. Don't figure out who it was. That's not important. But I said to her, are you coming to the Filipino fundraiser tonight? And she said, no, I can't come, Pastor Dan. But then she whispered, didn't want her husband to hear, I'll donate $500 for it. Wow, okay, thank you very much. And then I went down the line a little further, down the soup line, and I saw the line, and she said, I'll make it $1,000 as long as you don't tell any of my relatives in the church. So don't tell any of the relatives, all right? I said, when can you give it? Right now. She went to her table, and she wrote out a check and handed it to me. And then she said, we were not going to come here today. We were going to go to the one in Tustin, but we went to the one in Tustin, and it was closed, so we decided we would come here today. Out of 1,000 restaurants in Orange County, her second choice was the restaurant that I chose, and she walked in exactly the same minute that I walked in. 1 minute either way, she's at that end of the table. Another one, we would never see each other. We walked in to the line, and I had $1,000 for the mission trip. Amen? You can say, just an accident, Pastor Dan. Or you can say, that's an experience. And when Jesus says, all these things shall be added unto you, that is a part of it. And I said to God, I hope this means that I'm on the right track, that I am doing what you want me to do, that you work that out. And by that night, we had the money. And so the 887 people that were baptized last Sabbath, and they count 3,000 people being baptized from the beginning to the end, which our money paid for, 3,000 baptisms in Manila because of moments like that someone gives. I thought about this verse a lot while I was flying. And I have two main points. The first point is, first means first. Seek ye first. Can you repeat it after me? First means first. This is why I have a doctorate, is to come up with points like that. First means first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not second, not one of a variety of options. First means first. Seek ye first to build the kingdom of God. If it's not first, then all these things are not added unto you. But if you seek first, all these things will be added. First means first. I was with the same group of my beloved Hispanic brethren. We were together a lot on this trip. And we were having a little fun. They're talking about the food and how their food was better than that country and all these jokes. They had lots of jokes, which I cannot repeat. So I asked them, I said, but you're Americans. You have all naturalized to America. When there's the Olympics, who do you cheer for? Panama, Mexico, Peru. I said, that's not right. You went to the naturalization ceremony and you raised your hand and you waved a little flag and you said, I will be an American from now on. And I pledge allegiance. And one of them said, I mumbled through that part. No, you cannot. You have to say, forsaking all others, I will now be American. You cannot still be. First means first. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then all these things will be added to you. If not all the things are being added, maybe you're not seeking first. Number two, all means all. Can you repeat that? All means all. It does not mean some. It doesn't mean most. It doesn't mean once in a while. It means all. And if you can bear with me as I talk this through. Any other way, any other system of belief or lifestyle, you will never get all. You can make your bucket list, but you will never get all of your bucket list. There will always be one more resort, one more place that someone has gone to that you haven't gone to yet. Some other thing that you would like to have or be or experience that you did not have enough time or money to get to. Your life will run out before you accomplish your whole bucket list. Except Jesus says, if you will seek first the kingdom, all will be added unto you. We went to a wedding a few years ago. We were at, it was the seventh game of the Lakers playing the Portland Trailblazers. We drove down to Pasadena where the wedding was. The game was going, and boys were in the back seat listening. We got into the wedding, came back out. We got into the car to go down to the city hall or somewhere where the reception was. It is now the fourth quarter of the seventh game. Some of you remember this game. Sorry, there's no picture for it. And the Lakers are 15 points behind Portland. This is in the Kobe-Shaq era. And Kobe and Shaq began to make, and the other team began to lose. I told the story in Portland, and they did not like this story very well. And we began to catch up. We got a minute or two to go, and we're down like maybe two now, right there in the heart of the game. And we got to the parking lot where the wedding reception was to be. And I turned the car off, and we got ready to go out, and the boy said, "Dad, they're just 2 minutes behind. We can't go now." I looked around in the parking lot. No one else was leaving their car either. I said, okay. We turned it back on. We listened. They caught up. And Hilda said, "Dan, we're going to be late. We have to go." We turned off the radio. We got out, two very sad little boys heading to the reception. And we got to the reception, and the whisper began to go, "Did you hear? The Lakers won. The Lakers won. We came back. We're going on." And sometimes you get ahead before the end of the game. But I think we know that in life, most of the time, the game will run out before you get all that you want. Before you have done all that you would like to do, before you have all the money, all the experiences, all the relationships, all the things you would really like to do, the game will be over. Except Jesus says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. And you will get to experience all that you really want to have. Because you will want what God wants to give you. Jesus will make sure, if you will seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus will make sure that you have the kinds of experiences that just fill your soul, that make you feel complete and be fulfilled. And C.S. Lewis says in Mere Christianity, it is the only way you will ever find yourself, your true self. Everything else, you will always be with some distortion of it. Except you seek the kingdom of God first, all will be added unto you. What do we mean by these kinds of experiences? We were blessed to go with Pastor Sarah. I'm sorry my pictures do not work. I worked for hours on these pictures. Pastor Sarah grew up and went to school with a group of young ladies back east who cared about issues going on in the world and read and experienced. You've met her parents before. And one of them was in the Philippines, and somehow, if I remember the story right, said, "I walked over, stepped over six little girls or something on the way to work today, sleeping on the street." And somehow they began to talk about this, said, "What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do?" And those four women have formed a nonprofit, Project Propel. They have a website. Some of us have given to it. I've showed you pictures of it. So I said to Sarah, I said, "We're going to go to Manila. If you'll help me with the meetings, I'll help you get over there, and you can spend the days supporting your nonprofit." They have a bedroom there. She's a part of this team. Four young women, all in their early 30s, I guess. And so we went. First two or three times, we went in the middle of the day. The last time, we said, "We're not going then. We're going 6 o'clock in the morning." They go into what they call a barangay. And they negotiate with the chief and the people, and they find a way to ask them if they can have the space between the sidewalk and the walls and make that into a community garden. The first one we went to was like 3 or 4 feet. That's all there was. They put up some green slats. They painted it green. We painted it green. And then each woman gets so many feet, and they begin to plant plants. And they are feeding people with healthy, organic, safe, clean food in the middle of a city. And these women are organized. They're all empowered. There's a leader. There's a president and a secretary and treasurer and all these people. And here they were with all their shirts with these American women doing this project. What they asked us to do was to shovel rock for the next section. Somehow this is where all the rocks and junk has been dumped. And we shoveled rock in the middle of the day. I have never worked so hard for years. I had a birthday this week, just in case you have forgotten that part. There was a few people older than me. Carol's mother is here. She's a great-grandmother. She's older than me. She was in there working. Some people held the rice bags. Other people shoveled the rock. And then you had to drag that bag of rock across the other way. Some of the hardest work I've ever done. We did it 2 different days. The third day, everyone said, "Let's do this at 6 o'clock in the morning." We had to get up at 5, leave at 5:30, be there at 6. And you're still soaking wet. You can do it for about 5 minutes. Then you have to stand aside and let someone else dig. But when you're done, you feel euphoric because you know you have done something real, something that makes a difference in someone's life. You have helped build the kingdom of God. And everyone said, this was great. And we poured out whatever money we could find, and we helped them buy 150 pallets so they can build a better fence. And we did the best we could. We cleared out one area all the way down. That'd be their second big community garden. Four young women doing something fantastic. Whatever we could do to help them out. I think that's part of what Jesus meant when he said, all these things will be added unto you, and you will fill your soul, and you will feel complete and fulfilled because you're doing something for the kingdom of God. The first 2 days, we went to a place we've gone to before where we have built churches. We're something around 30 churches now that we've either built or we have remodeled. And so we got off the plane, and General Santos, and they began to announce, go here. And we were on this bus tour for 2 days and drive up to a church. If we've already done it, there it would be a dedication. And I would speak and Andrew would play and we would do a little dedication. And then there would be mangoes and coconuts and drink. And then we'd go on to the next place. Much picture taking. And we dedicated churches that we have finished, that are precious, that were just slums, not finished before. And now $6,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 later, and it's a finished church, and the people are so thankful. One church had completely died. No one was coming, destroyed, and now it's finished. We gave the last money for paint, and we had a dedication. Unbelievable. I'm sorry our pictures are not quite in sync, so just bear the myth the best you can. We drove up to one. They had been waiting all day for us to get there because people kept adding other churches. Can you just pass by my church? Hoping we'll take on their church. Many churches we went to. But finally, we got to one that is called Pola Malok. This was Pastor Michelle. Remember, Pastor Michelle was in our church. She got excited, but she left us before she got that done. They've been emailing me for years. Finally, last December, I found $3,000. Sent it over there. Okay, you got your money. The week before we left, the pastor emailed me and said, Pastor Dan, I'm so sorry. But when I was not there, the church board voted that the church was too small. They wanted it to be bigger. And they took all your money and they poured it into foundation. We were going to go dedicate a church. How can you dedicate a church? There's only a foundation. So I began to make calls that last week before we left. And we raised from other places $7,000. Sent it over there. And in those 2 weeks, they put up the walls of a church. Maybe just keep clicking and maybe you'll get to it. I think it's right after here. Next one. No, it's not it. Somehow the pictures are all out of order. We drove into that site. They had a banner out in front. And they had voted the night before to change the name. Instead of being Mount Sinai Pola Malok Church, it is now the new Garden Grove Pola Malok Church. Amen? We have a little brand. We have a little mini denomination now going around the world. Here was a pastor who was a great man, 3 or 4 churches that he wanted us to see. Here was a little band with instruments. Here were 20 young people singing. And they wanted to dedicate the church. They showed us. Josh and my sons and the young people had done the cement 3 years ago. And the cement ended here. And they put the foundation out there because they wanted the church to grow. So they took our money and used it all up to make it a bigger church. And our 8,000 had gotten up the walls. Now they wanted to do the rest of it. They said, Pastor Dan, we need 3 more thousand to finish the roof. And by God's grace, we were able to piece together the 3,000 and sent that over there for them to at least finish the roof. They need another 8,000 to finish. And then you take pictures and you do it. How can you be angry at them when all they wanted was to have a bigger church? And here we have a picture with me and all the leaders and the pastor and the people that did it and all the women and the men who were building the church. And we have a picture and we have coconuts and mangoes and a band is playing. And you have a moment of an experience that you cannot get any other way. You can't get that from Disneyland or any other way. And that's part of what Jesus means when he says, all these things will be added unto you, is these moments that are holy and pure and just fill your soul. One of the young pastors there, we have helped a lot over the years, many years. It's just a fireball. They'd given him a new district. They took us to a place. We got out. They're the only church in the village. They took us to the top of a hill. And here they are worshiping in a field. They don't have a tree. They don't have a tent. They're worshiping in a field. And they said, Pastor Dan, we want to put up a church here by June. How much? $3,000. You can build a church for three. Simple little church. No money. Few villagers. And we just passed a hat. We said, I'll do 100 if you do 100 if you do 100. And we raised $1,500. And I put mine in today. My $100. And we had a moment where we stood on a hill, 15 of us, who said, we will do something for there to be a church on this hill. And 15 of us prayed with this pastor and these villagers. Holy moment of God. That's part of all these things. We got to Manila, preached one night, wasn't a big crowd. Somehow the dates had been fouled up. And anyway, the big crowd came the next day. They said, you want to go to the prison this afternoon? Sure. I could go to the hotel. You could work on the sermon. You could rest in the air-conditioned room. But they invite you to a women's prison. Go ahead and go. Let's go. They told me that the pastor was going to do the baptizing. I didn't go ready to be a part of that. We walked in, and here are 60 getting ready for baptism and many others sitting there. Beautiful, beautiful, mostly young women. You have to say, what did they do to get in prison? Drugs or something. Here is a little band, and they're singing this song. They all knew all the songs. They did not allow praise songs in the church, but they allowed praise songs in the prison. Think about that for a minute. Lady got up at her microphone and said, I am a murderer, but I've been forgiven by Jesus Christ. There's one sermon I'm saying you, and then there's another sermon up there. You match them up any way you can. All right. We don't have any picture. I could not find anybody that had a picture of this service. They asked me to say a few words. I've done a couple prisons in the past, so I tried to dredge up something I've said. I told a little story that I've told you before, and then I said to these prisoners, I said, the moment you get baptized, the moment you come out of the water, your sins are forgiven, and Jesus forgives every one of your sins. The government will not forgive you or let you go because you got baptized. But because you get baptized, Jesus will forgive your sins, and they are as far as the east is from the west. And all those women began to clap because their sins were gone. And then the young pastor just got ordained. This was, I think, almost his first baptism. He said, Pastor Dan, you want to join? Sure. No clothes to change into. Going to go in the bus cold, wet. No problem. The pool was about that deep, and the water maybe about a foot and a half. You think what that means when you got to lift 30 people and then pull them back up. We tried having them sit down. We tried having them kneel. I thought, I will lift them. Just beg God, help me hold up 30 Filipino women. One by one. They only had 30 baptismal robes. The others had to just come in their prison clothes. And they would come in, one over here with him and one with me. Whole little groups over here singing. And I began to baptize each one. They can't say a word of English to me. And I would bend all the way down and then pull them back up. Lady was helping me. And look in her face and said, be faithful to God. I was so full of the moment, I began to clap. Here we clap at the end of a baptism. They don't clap over there. But I began to clap. I just couldn't help it. I began to clap for their baptisms, for mine. And pretty soon the whole crowd was clapping for every baptism. And we had a rockin' good hour baptizing 60 prisoners. And they are just as a member of the Adventist Church as you are today. Amen? And their sins are gone. You can't replace these moments. I enjoy it when the sports teams win, and I enjoy lots of things. But when Jesus says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you, I think he means moments like that. Does that make any sense to you? Last Sabbath, we baptized 887 people in a swimming pool. Preached to 7,000 people. Sharon sang. Andrew played. And then they took me, we changed, we didn't have time to change. I didn't have time to change. We took me right with the clothes I had on over to this pool, 30-some pastors baptizing. Sorry, we have pictures for all this. And I am next to my brother, Nathan's father. I'm the leader. I'm the one that organizes it. But my brothers, I call my brothers every time, say, you want to go? One brother couldn't go this time, had another family deal. But Richard goes just about every time, my brother in El Cajon. And the two of us stand there. He turned 60 last week. I turned 64. We've been doing this a long time. To stand there with my brother and baptize 887 people together. People come down these little steps. One would go back to him and one would come to me. What's your name? And then they say the little formula. And I know when it says Spiritus, I know that's my time to baptize. Spiritus, okay. People taking pictures of everyone. And they come up. And look in their face and just, God bless you. We have a picture, my brother and I, together. And on Monday, my brother was on his way back here, and he texted me. He says, I know you're still back there. I'm home now. It is an honor and a pleasure to do this ministry with you. The two brothers, my dad is gone. He doesn't get to do it anymore, but the four of us vowed that we would find a way to keep doing what my father did for 50 years. And we get to do it together. You can't bottle those moments. And there's a picture of the 30 of us all that baptized together. Here we go. We got over to the island. We flew the next morning over to this island, got up at 3:15. We had to wait for the second plane to take us out to Pastor Ed's island. I'm waiting out in the room because the air-conditioned room, all the beds were full. The other people were in there. I'm out here. A little girl comes up to me. Can I talk to you? Yes, you can talk to me. She goes back, gets a little bag. She pulls out books, and she begins to sell me books. I said, how old are you? 11 years old. I said, you must be the youngest call porter in the world. I didn't know they allow children to do this. She began to sell me this book. It's on healthy juices or something. And she began to tell me about these juices. The book is wrapped in plastic. I said to her, have you read this book? No. I said, how can you sell me the book? You haven't read it yourself yet. We had a little fun with that. Got to the next book. She knows her little speech. Someone showed her the speech. Next one was on cooking. Okay, have you read this? No, I have not read it. Next book was on marriage. I'm sorry for this. Nancy Van Pelt, I said, I know this lady. I read to the back, and how to put pizzazz in your marriage. I said to this little girl, do you know what pizzazz means? No. And then it said, how to banish boredom from your bedroom. I said, do you know what that means? No. Anyway, I bought her a book. I bought a book. Paid her $25, whatever it was, and I said, you go sell the book. I don't need the book. I can't take it home with me. You go sell the book again. That night, she played the guitar for our youth group. Her name was Blessie. She asked me if she could go to the ocean. We're going out to the beach, island hopping the next day. She said, can I go? I said, I figured there's no way. How is she going to get there? I said, you get to our hotel tomorrow by 9 o'clock. I'll take you. Figured there's no chance this 11-year-old girl is going to be out there. 7 o'clock in the morning, Sarah texted me and she said, guess who's at my door? So I told Sarah, you are mother of the year. She spent that whole day taking care of that little 11-year-old girl. She snorkeled with us. She was on our boat with us. She is a precious girl. And someone who is sitting here today said to me quietly, anonymously, said, Pastor Dan, what will it take to send that girl to the Adventist school for the next year? And it put $450 into the offering today. And we will send that over Monday. And that little girl will be in an Adventist school this week. Amen? Her mother is 61 years old. Kids are gone. They adopted this little girl. The mother is in charge of watering the garden at the commission and cannot take care of that little girl and asked her to go and sell books to survive. And she sold a lot of books to our group. And now she'd be in an Adventist school. Who knows who she will be 20 years from now? That is part of all these things. One more. As you know, we went to Pastor Ed's Islands. I'm sorry the pictures are not here. Pastor Ed is not back yet. He'll be back Wednesday. Pastor Ed is 40 years old. When he was 25, he graduated from our college. He's from that island in Palawan. He said he looked at the whole island and decided where could he go. And he looked for a place where there was no other Adventist, and he went to this island. Palawan is already a long ways. This is 180 miles out into the ocean. It's a little speck in the middle of the ocean. You can walk clear across it in half an hour. Cagayan Silio. He told me that he went in a little boat. We've talked about this before. 24 hours in the open water. Tied himself in to keep from falling out. He took us up to the old Spanish fort, 500-year-old Spanish fort. It's in ruins. He said, I hiked up here the first day, and I just prayed that God would help me put up a church at this island. He went over there with two Korean girls who couldn't speak English or Tagalog or any local language. All they could do each other was just hand motion, and in a year, they put up a church, doing health programs, whatever they could do. He begged me to come. Wanted me to go in that boat. I don't want to go on a 24-hour boat. So I found a guy who has a mission plane. He brought two mission planes, and we flew in those mission planes. We landed on this grassy strip. You think about that. You fly over ocean, and here's rocks, and land right on the grass. And as we're taxiing, here's one group here and one group here, all in white shirts, waving as we go by. We turned around. We come back. We get out of the plane. These are the members that Pastor Ed won 15 years ago. Still in the church. I shook hands with every single one of them. Can't talk a word of English. We got over there. They asked me to talk. And I said, how many of you have been baptized and won by Pastor Ed? The whole group. 15 years ago. 25-year-old kid. Put up a church. We helped the last few $1,000 get a water tank and some stuff. Preached, gave them the felts, gave them the video projector, gave them stuff that we had, the water filters. They took us to a little small guest room. Sarah was on a porch somewhere. I was in a little guest room, primitive little place. Told my class, I went in to take a shower, turn on the water, the faucet head blew off, geysers of water everywhere. So tried to get that fixed, put the thing back on. The electricity only goes from 4 till midnight. All the fans shut down at 12 o'clock. 4:45 in the morning, I heard music. I said, boy, somebody's alarm has gone off. They're listening to music. Kept listening. Finally realized it was people singing. And then I heard happy birthday song. And I realized it was not the alarm, wasn't a radio. It was people singing to me. Maybe I should get up. Found out later they'd been singing for half an hour waiting for me to wake up. I finally dressed and got out there, and here 25 people, been there since 3:45 in the morning. Pastor Ed said, you can't sing this early. Give Dan, Pastor, a chance to Dan to sleep. They sang all these songs. Someone is praying for you. Then we got dressed, and we went down. I wish you could see the little, what Ed called the limousine, little motorcycle with a little cart. We rode like the Pope Mobile standing. We rode down this court. Little primitive thing. We rode down to where the wharf is, and here was what they call a simple pump boat with the outriggers, and we crawled onto that boat. 3:15 the morning, the next morning before, 4:15 this morning, now it's 5:15, barely starting to be light. We're on this boat to go to the second island where Ed started a church. And we rode on a sea of glass. I don't know if you can find pictures. Somehow look around. There's gorgeous pictures of this. There it is. Look at that. And we're on a sea of glass when the sun comes up. And these people who have virtually no food, nothing except rice and fish, somehow served us cups of hot chocolate while we're riding over on this boat. And you just have some moments once in a while that are exquisite and pure and holy that you can't get any other place unless you're seeking first the kingdom of God. All these things. We get out of the boat. There's no electricity. There is no vehicle. There is nothing on this island. We walked up this road. There's one village here and one village here, and then there's this mountain in the middle or hill. Someone has put a little cement pathway up there. We got to the top, and here is the church. The money we've raised over the last couple months has built that church. Only the little bit of it was started before. Pastor Ed's sister is the one who went over there, waited 5 weeks in the town waiting for it to go, for the weather to clear up. When she finally got in the boat to go, after one day, the propeller fell off the boat and fell to the bottom of the ocean. Here's a boat with no propeller, cannot go. She's stuck on that boat for 4 days. Finally gets it. She looks exactly like Pastor Ed. Beautiful, wonderful, fantastic girl. And she's giving these 6 weeks to putting that church up. People sitting here put money into the water tank and other things, but most of the money raised from elsewhere. And here is the story. Pastor Ed got up on a rock and he said, I stood on this rock and I prayed to God that he would help me build a church here at the top of the hill between the two villages. He said the land was filled with caves. They had to buy the land from somebody. And then these huge caves that are car-sized. And they had to, by hand, go down to the bottom, pick up a big rock, carry it up, drop it in the hole, go get more until that place was level. You think about that. No wheels, no car, no truck, no nothing, by hand. Every bag of cement was there. Somebody carried up that hill by hand. They dig the sand from the beach and put it in rice bags and carry it up there and built that church. The water all had to be carried. There's no water up there. They had to carry the water up there. This is a place where you don't even dig a well. The wells are salt water. You have to catch the rain during the rain here and keep it for the rest of the summer. That's why they want us to get them water tanks. And we got there, and the church is 3/4 done. In the next 2-3 weeks, they hope to finish the churches. We gave them money for sidewalks and the restroom and the water tank, raised more money, called everywhere I could think of to get that church done. We have a picture somewhere of Pastor Sarah and me and Ed in front of that church. I'll treasure that picture for the rest of my life. To see what a young pastor did 1 year out of school to put up two churches on islands in the middle of nowhere, carrying every single thing by hand up a mountain, and now there's two churches full of people. That was a good day. That was a good day. Started with singing and the serenade and the boat and all that. We flew back on the planes. By that afternoon, Sarah's in a hammock and I'm on a kayak out on the ocean. And we're drinking mango shakes at a restaurant. I hope you'll understand what I'm trying to say. The context for this passage in Matthew chapter 6 is about your food and your clothes and your shelter. And don't worry about these things because you have a Father in heaven who knows that you need these things. But if you will seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. And I want to say, it is not just food and shelter and clothing. Maslow says, you need more than that. And you need love and you need self-esteem and you need self-actualization in order to be who you are. And I'm saying when Jesus says all these things, he means if you will seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus will give you experiences. Doesn't have to be in the Philippines or in Vietnam or in missions. It can be right here in everyday life. Moments that are exquisite and holy and pure if you are seeking first the kingdom of God. And God will fill your soul with experiences. And it is the only way you will feel satisfied. The Bible says he will give you all your needs through Jesus Christ. So I just challenge you to enjoy this series on all. First means first, and all means all. Amen? Amen. God bless you all.